Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you dealing with circumstances that are overwhelming in your life? Do you wonder where to turn or what to do next? Often it's an adjustment of your perspective, and next we're going to discover who God is. Understanding God with Paul Chappell, next on Daily in the Word. Let your understanding of Him change your perspective. It has been said, if you have a small God, you have big problems. But if you have a big God, you have small problems. So often in life, our perspective of God changes everything in our life. And if this broadcast comes to you in the midst of overwhelming obstacles and trials in life, then a clearer understanding of who God is in your life will radically change your perspective and give you strength and grace to go forward. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This is a daily radio program that features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. We're studying a series entitled Understanding God. If you'd like to listen to past programs, or if you'd like to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org, you can listen to programs or subscribe to the free podcast. All of it is at dailyintheword.org. But now, let's dive into understanding God. Today, we're going to seek to understand the power of God. Psalm 33, verses 1 through 11. Here's Paul Chappell.
It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. Now here we see in the Word of God that James reminds us that there is one great lawgiver, and that this great lawgiver is able to save and to destroy. So he says, now wait a minute, those of you that say, tomorrow I'll go to this city, I'll buy, I'll sell, I'll do this. He says, wait a minute, you don't even know if you will have tomorrow. For what is your life? It's but a vapor. It appears for a little while, and it vanisheth away. You know, sometimes, folks, one of the greatest mistakes that Christians make is that we fail to live this life with eternity in mind, and we act like it's all going to go on forever, and that everything we have is ours forever, and that we are here forever. But the Bible puts it into an eternal perspective and says that our life is just like a vapor. I mean, it's here and then it's gone. And so he says, in the light of that, what we should do is say this: if the Lord would will me tomorrow, if it's His will, then tomorrow I'll go to Los Angeles and make the sale. Tomorrow I'll sell for this amount and bring back this product and such and so forth. If it's the will of God, if God would bless this, this is what I will do. Lord, take my life. It's yours to control. I yield myself to you. If it's your will to bless it, then Lord, because you're the one lawgiver who can save or destroy, I ask you, Lord, to bless me and to save what I'm doing here for your honor and glory. Now, we can deny this fact. We can fight this fact. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord puts up some and down others, and we need to give over our allegiance and yield our will over to Him. And our prayer should be, as we enter a new week, Lord, I pray that you'd bless my family this week. I pray that you'd bless my work this week and give me wisdom to make right decisions. And Lord, I recognize your power And I ask you to bless in our home during this week. And so we see His power over creation. God has power to create, and God has power to control, and God has power to destroy, and God has power to bless. It's all in the hands of God. And so we need to get off this idea that we're little gods doing what we want. And we need to come back to the recognition of the fact that He has all power, and that without Him, we can do nothing. Notice not only His power over creation, but I want to share secondly with you this morning His power over Satan. His power over Satan. I'm glad that I have a God today who through the cross of Calvary permanently damaged the head of Satan, and that we're on the winning side today. And my God and your God, if you're saved, has power over Satan. Now, I would say first of all this morning that God has power to protect us from Satan. To protect us from Satan. Now, friends, I want you to get this in your minds very clearly for just a moment. Satan has real power. Satan and his evil spirits have power to control, power to condemn, power to sway opinions, power to manipulate. And Ephesians chapter 6 says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you wonder what's going on and what's happening with these teenagers and why is that person so changed and what's the situation. It many times is a spiritual warfare so far beyond our comprehension. Satan is alive and Satan is real. And what a tragedy today to see an increase of interest in these last days on the part of so many, not only teenagers, but even CEOs today in satanic rituals, and even some in our armed forces today in satanic rituals and carrying out a worship in the church of Satan. I want to tell you something, friend. It's not a game, and it's not funny when kids are dressing in black and when they're really almost worshiping the singers of their rock group. I'm telling you, friend, this morning, it's not a little game or a funny thing. It's a tragedy when teenagers are looking more to this type of entertainment than they are to the things of God. And it ought to be a wake-up call to us. I was amazed to read recently that one of these rock groups, KISS, which the acronym stands for Knights in Satan's Service, is now having a great comeback, and teenagers paying large amounts of money and teenagers following this group more than preachers, more than parents, more than godly role models. They're following after this type of a situation. This Marilyn Manson leading teenagers literally to the pit of hell. And I want to tell you something. That is exactly where following of these types of rock and roll singers and their philosophy and their belief in Satan ultimately leading young people away from Jesus, ultimately and eternally, they will spend eternity without God in hell because of this type of influence today. You say, Pastor Chappell, you take this stuff so seriously and you're trying to talk to us about coming and getting a book and learning how to tell people about Jesus and heaven and forgiveness and all this stuff, and you just keep going year after year after year, and two services coming up and going into the community and going into the community. I mean, isn't there enough going on around here at the church now? Aren't you satisfied? Friend, it's not about our satisfaction. It's about the command of God to go out and reach people who are literally being pulled by a satanic world away from an Almighty God. But thank God when someone comes into a relationship with Him that He has power over Satan. We need to just recognize that it is a real battle. U.S. News and World Report last month reported that 8 out of the 9 schoolyard shootings that happened in the last 12 months, 8 out of the 9, the young men involved in pulling the triggers were also involved in playing demonic electronic games. Hour after hour, satanic emblems on their computer screen. Hour after hour, blood and gore. And hour after hour, playing those dark side games. Moms and dads, you are crazy if you don't know exactly what's on the computer of your child this morning. Satan is the prince and the power of the air of this world, and he's using his influence as best he can. But I want to tell you something. When a child or when an adult comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ, then now there is a protection that comes over them, and God has power to protect them. And no matter what Satan might want to do, he's not going any farther than the hand of God would allow for a period of a trial, because once someone is saved, they are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest illustrations of that we see in the scriptures is in the life of Job. Job had some trials. Job was attacked. But we read at the very beginning of that book in Job 1 and verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." God said, "I'll allow Satan to take the barns and the cattle. I'll allow a great trial to come, but now upon him, you cannot touch him." Why? Because God has power over Satan. Luke 22 and verse 31 says that Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat, but I prayed for thee." My friends, this morning, Satan wants our teenagers, and Satan wants our families, and Satan wants to destroy churches. But thank God for the intercessory prayers of Jesus Christ, because it is through his power that we have victory over Satan. He has power to protect. He has power to break strongholds. God has power to break the strongholds of Satan. Do you know that some people, even in this room, perhaps many, there this morning is a stronghold of Satan. He's not possessing you. He's not controlling you in every area. But there's an area that we would call a stronghold. It's something that Satan uses. Some people might call it a weakness. And I want to just say to you this morning, God has power over these strongholds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, our God is able to cast down these strongholds. He is able to give us the victory in breaking these strongholds. Some people have a stronghold or a weakness in the other way of looking at it, with anger. It's a stronghold of Satan. He knows just what it takes to set them off, just what it takes to get them in the flesh. I heard about the other day a trucker that went into a truck stop, pulled his 18-wheeler over, went into the truck stop, sat up on the bench, ordered a cheeseburger and some fries and a milkshake. He was looking forward to having his lunch, and as he sat there, the waiter brought the lunch to him, and right when he was getting ready to eat it, a group of motorcycle gang-type fellas pulled up into the restaurant, up to the restaurant area parking lot, came into the restaurant, walked over, saw the man about ready to eat, pushed him out of his chair, sat down, one of them did, and started eating his sandwich. While he was eating the trucker sandwich, the trucker just quietly walked out of the restaurant and started up his rig. One of those motorcycle gang members said to the waiter, said, "He ain't much of a man, is he?" And the waiter said, "No, and he ain't much of a driver either. He just ran over 6 motorcycles in the parking lot." Now, sometimes we have momentary anger like that, you know, it just happens. But then there's other people, they live with anger. I mean, they're in a spirit of anger all the time. Satan's just got them angry about something. Some people, they have a stronghold of depression. And they sleep and sleep, or eat and eat, or get involved in other things. It's just a stronghold upon them. Some people have a stronghold of lust. And it just seems like just the sight of the slightest thing will cause them to go astray in that area. And it's a stronghold that Satan has on their life. I want to tell you something this morning. God has power to break the strongholds. And he says very clearly in his word that he will pull down the strongholds. He will cast down those imaginations. And everything that exalteth itself above God, he has power to destroy. I was amazed in Time magazine last week to see an article about Woodstock 99. And if you don't think people are under the stronghold of Satan today, just watch some of these young people. Watch them in the way they dress, in the way they act, and in their lifestyle. And Woodstock 99 was an illustration of it. Time magazine said, and I was amazed that Time would report this, being such a liberal magazine, but Time said that there was arson, pillaging, mayhem, and rape at this rock concert. And at the end of the particular article that I saw, this was what the author wrote. He said, "It is to be expected. When a crowd the size of Rochester, New York is assembled, peddled drugs, and hosed down with vehemently moronic music, something like a riot will come to pass." And then he said these words, "Garbage in, garbage out." Not bad for Time magazine. You know the tragedy, though? Many people are addicted to that garbage. "I'm not addicted to it." Yes, you are. You can't walk by a store playing a certain song without going into the store. That music has a power. You can't see something without wanting to see more. You can't experience just a little anger without throwing a temper tantrum. You can't have a moment of rejection without lulling into days of despondency. And sometimes Satan has this garbage to throw at God's people, and God's people come under the influence of Satan. And we need to recognize that if you're saved today, then you, through the power of the gospel and through the presence of God, need to claim the victory and seek more scripture and seek biblical counseling if necessary. But I'm saying this morning that God has power over these satanic strongholds. And there is no reason for a Christian to live a defeated life constantly under the oppression of Satan. He has power over creation. He has power over Satan. I want you to see finally today that God has power over death. I mean, that just kind of sums it up right there, huh? Power over death. Now, some would say this. Well, if God has all power, why doesn't He stop death? And I believe that the answer is found simply in this statement. God does not view death from our perspective. God views death not in the same way that we would view it, but to Him, death is a comma in the story of life, not a period at the end of life. To us, it's so final, but to God, it's just a mere stop along the way to eternity. It's just a pause on the way to eternity. In fact, if you study the scripture, it's just like the blinking of an eye to Him. Someone says, well, if God has such power, why doesn't He stop these things? Because to Him, death, and sometimes in the case of His saints, it is precious in the eyes of the Lord. I want you to see with me this morning that He has power over death because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Then the Bible says He became the first fruits. He was the first to conquer death in the grave, and others would follow is the implication by the phrase first fruits. And so the Bible says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. By the first Adam came death. By the second Adam, Jesus Christ, came the resurrection from the grave. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming." So if you are Christ, then you have a hope of eternal life in heaven. You have a hope of joining Him in the air at the time of His appearing. F.B. Meyer, the great evangelist of yesteryear, once in his life was told by a doctor some very sad news, and then the next day, even more difficult news. And he wrote these words in a little note to his wife. He said, "My dear wife, to my surprise, I have just been told that my days and hours are numbered. It may be that before this letter reaches you, I shall be gone into the palace of the king. Do not trouble tonight. We shall meet in the morning. Someone that is truly saved and understands the Word of God realizes that we shall meet in the morning, that we will understand it better by and by. You see, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible says He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. In fact, over 1,500 eyewitnesses saw and some touched the Lord Jesus Christ as He gave evidence of the fact that He was the first fruits of the resurrection. And my friend, if you are here today knowing that you are saved, know this too, that you have a God who's conquered death and the grave, and that should God call you home before the rapture of the church, should God call you home before the church is taken from this place called earth, that you will be instantly with the Lord, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thank God He has power over death. Thank God that that power over death is available through salvation. It is available through salvation. Romans 1:16 has for many years been a verse that I've chosen as a favorite or a lifetime verse. Romans 1:16 says it this way, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel of Christ, not the church, not the preacher, but the gospel of Christ, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." My friend, today, if you're here and not sure that you have a home in heaven, perhaps under the stronghold of Satan, perhaps sin is rampant in your life, you do not know that if you died, you would spend eternity in heaven, I want to tell you there's something today more powerful than sin, something today more powerful than Satan, and that something is the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, because when He died on that cross, the last thing Jesus said was, "It is finished," and the skies were darkened. But thank God, when the stone rolled away from the grave on that first Easter morning, thank God the lilies were blooming and the birds were singing. Why? Because Jesus had won the victory, and He had proven the victory by resurrecting from the dead. And if you are not sure that your sins have been forgiven, don't turn to some new age, rock-worshipping, nonsense religion. Don't turn to some rock and roll, orgy-like, ridiculous degradation. But turn to the living Savior, Jesus Christ. And come to Him and say, "Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner, and I ask You today to be my Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now, it is one thing to mentally understand the power that God has today, the power that God has over sin and Satan and death. It is another thing to experience that power. It is another thing to say, "I know that I'm saved." As one in the Bible said, "I cannot explain everything that has happened to me, but this one thing I know. Once I was lost, and now I've been found." And if you've been saved, you know that much. You know that within you indwells the presence of the Spirit of God and the hope of an eternal life in heaven. And that is because of the power of God. And I would encourage you, friend, not merely to hear the message, but I would encourage you to receive the message, to receive the Savior of the message, if you've never done so, and to experience firsthand His power, His energizing that comes with the joy of the forgiveness of sin and the knowledge of God in your life. Father, we thank You today for Your power. We thank You that You proved it with an empty tomb. Lord, there are those that are turning to false powers today. There are those that are worshiping at the altars of Satan. But I pray that we would turn to You and worship You.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Understanding God begins really with knowing God, having a relationship with Him. So many people have a religion or a religious belief, but they don't have a relationship with the true and living God. And friend, that relationship is found only through Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we would encourage you to come to Him, to let go of your works, your own goodness, your own religious structures, and to place your faith in Christ alone as your Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says, in answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've not made that decision, we would encourage you to make that decision today. If you have questions about receiving Christ, or if you'd like to find out more about our ministry and how we can serve you, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Also, before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you again to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth. First, you can subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word. You can subscribe to the free Daily in the Word devotional in your email box every day. You'll be able to read through the Bible in a year, as well as enjoy an encouraging word of devotion from Dr. Chappell. Also, I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book. It's entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a beautiful hardback book, about 180 pages in length, that will help you answer the question, who is carrying your load? You'll discover a beautiful allegory, wonderfully written, powerfully applied from God's Word. Once again, The Burden Bearer. It's the kind of book that after you read it, you're going to want everybody you know to read The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.